Later in the show, we're going to be speaking of the arts. And I'm sitting in the CCA, the Center for Contemporary Arts, here in Santa Fe, with Erin Elder. She's the visual arts curator at the CCA, and she curated the exhibition that is opening tonight called Dust in the Machine. It opens tonight at 6:30 in the Munoz Waxman Gallery. And Jesse Vogler, he is an artist and land surveyor, and he has some pieces in the exhibition. The exhibition Dust in the Machine is part of the Isaiah Symposium. It's international. Isaiah stands for International Symposium on Electronic Art. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen.
Hi.
Thank you.
It's great to have you here. So let's talk about, first of all, the conference. This is an international conference that's been going on for a couple of several decades, and it's happening in Albuquerque, which is a kind of big and wonderful thing for Albuquerque this year. But there's also events happening in Santa Fe and Taos.
Yeah, it's very exciting to have Isaiah come to Albuquerque. Last year, it was in Istanbul. The year before, it was in Singapore. And it hasn't been in the United States for the last 6 years. So everyone is thrilled that it's in Albuquerque.
Albuquerque, Istanbul, Singapore.
Yeah, sounds good, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And I should say that 516 Arts and University of New Mexico are organizing it, and it's been a huge, huge collaboration. They've worked with hundreds of artists and probably 60 organizations across the state. There are projects happening from El Paso to Taos, and the season of projects lasts from now until the end of December. So there's a ton of stuff to check out, and everything from residency projects to exhibitions to the symposium, which is happening as we speak.
That's right. Now, it's all about what? Electronic arts and also the intersections among the arts and sciences and technology?
Absolutely, yeah. Isaiah is always about art, science, and technology. And this year, they're really looking to bring in kind of a nature component. And I think New Mexico, of course, really speaks to that. It's always been a landscape that has been technologized, if that's a word. But the theme for the conference this year is machine wilderness. And I really find that fascinating because New Mexico has been a testing ground for so many different kinds of technology, and yet it is this wilderness, wide open space. It's a space that we think of as experimental, as out of the way, as off the grid in a way. But it's one of the most technologically complex landscapes in the country.
And so keeping that in mind, you found artists for this exhibition, Dust in the Machine.
Right. I decided to take the theme of machine wilderness and build on that rather than focus on electronic art specifically. And I have been thinking a lot about technology and particularly the grid. On the side, I run an off-grid residency program called Planned outside of Tres Piedras, New Mexico. And we bring artists from around the world to experience off-the-grid living. So for the past few years, I've really been thinking a lot about how the grid works, what it delivers, our dependence on it, and our ignorance of it. And so this show was an opportunity for me to really explore that through artist works and to kind of critique that dependency and the systems that we take for granted.
Now, there's a really interesting piece in it that you wouldn't have no idea what it was if you didn't have the curator right there explaining it to you, or I hope there's some materials there explaining it to you, but it's by an artist named Adrian Colburn, and it's about the San Francisco sewer system, and it's actually a graphic representation made out of wire where that infrastructure is physically represented as almost like a map.
Yeah, it is a map, and it's actually made out of paper, so it's much more fragile
than it
first appears.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and behind the grid of paper is a painting of the historic natural waterways of San Francisco. And when you see that overlaid with the contemporary grid of sewer pipes, you really begin to understand how much that landscape has been changed to accommodate human development. And I used to live in San Francisco, and it was always very interesting to learn about what parts of the city were built on landfill. And, you know, these are pieces of the history that you learn about a place, but yet they're still terribly hidden. And I think that's what elements of this exhibition do, is speak to those hidden parts of the system of technology and reliance that we have.
As I was looking at that piece in particular, I thought, this is actually what the human body is like. It is all of these pipes and things that feed into other places, and they're very fragile, and we don't know, unless we're doctors or anatomists or whatever, what goes into what, and yet we're utterly dependent on it.
Yeah, that one really, it mimics the circulatory system in a way, and the electrical grid is very much like the nervous system. We have some really beautiful videos in the exhibition by Lisa Blatt, and they are exhaust fumes from a power plant. You don't actually see the power plant, but you see those plumes, and they're recognizable as pollution. Somehow we know that shape, we know what it looks like, and yet it's very similar, like you're saying, to our own exhaust. It's waste and it's a continuous cycle. It just keeps happening all the time.
Let's talk about some of the other pieces. Well, let's talk with Jesse Vogler. You are an artist, and you've studied physics, you've studied architecture, you are a land surveyor, and all of those things you bring to bear on the work that you do.
Absolutely. In the work that I do, I am ultimately trying to find the connections and, I guess, point to the tensions between, say, the broader systems that organize the landscape, whether they're economic systems or whether they're technological systems, or whether they are maybe material systems, and try and bring those into tension with, say, the more subjective understanding and reading of that landscape. It's why I like so much Aaron's title for this specific exhibit, Dust in the Machine. I think that, like, that sort of really points to the reality principle that maybe is, like, missing from the sort of play on words that this is paraphrasing, the deus ex machina, the sort of, you know, what
the
is
the ghost in the machine.
The ghost in the machine, which is essentially, you know, the sort of really kind of boring conceit of resolving all conflicts from, you know, a hand on high. I think that, you know, ultimately the complexity of the built environment doesn't lend itself to that kind of resolution. And so in the pieces that I have in the show, I try and hold that tension.
Now, you use a lot of very down-to-earth materials. You're using sand and culverts and tar machines and asphalt from an actual piece of asphalt from a road and traffic cones and things like that. And there is some kind of process of transformation of those that you go through. How do you get explain the process of getting inspired by some of those different raw materials?
Right. Well, I find the built environment to be just an incredibly compelling palette to work with. And as a land surveyor, I'm involved in not just the sort of materials, but also a lot of the processes and the duration and the kind of effort and labor that goes on in the making of the built environment. And so seeing the building process and seeing the built environment as a process, and sort of seeing the small cues and the, you know, essentially, I think some of the taken for granted materials, those are essentially the inspiration for a lot of these pieces. I think that those materials end up being, you know, sort of infrastructure in the most classic sense, in that they're sort of invisible. They're not sort of, I think, often held up as sort of, the role that they play is not often acknowledged, and so in part these pieces are, you know, trying to bring those
surface. I was thinking about, you've got a piece of actual asphalt from a highway
Camino Real.
The right? Camino Real.
Absolutely,
the Camino Real. You think of this as an ancient road, not as an asphalt road.
Right. But, you know, because of that sort of historical overlay and because of, I guess what I would say is like the maybe the latency of the built environment, that historic road gets rebuilt and rebuilt upon. And, you know, right. it's that, you know, for me, that's also what makes the built environment so compelling is that it goes on essentially believing for us, you know, the road continues to be there in all of its instantiations. And so, you know, the Camino Real sure is like a sort of remains as like a historical reference point.
What's but it called now? Like what's the current road?
Is Letter Road in the South Valley of New Mexico. And so, and you know, to even sort of consider the Camino Real as being like a single road is also a little bit, sort of like not true to its historic alignment because it is sort of shifted between, say, Isleta, 2nd Street, 4th Street, Broadway. Like the actual alignment right. has changed over time. And so, you know, but when I'm working on, say, in a project like that, I'm pretty aware of where I am in sort of like the historical building of the state in this case.
And that piece, I was looking at that and just thinking of all the people who go to the trouble. I mean, it's their job to build the roads that you go on, and you never think about all the labor that's in those roads.
I love that. I love that that's sort of like what that piece might be able to invoke, in part because that piece, for me and my relationship to that piece, is one of sort of like absolute labor. I mean, it's in the end, it's a piece that weighs about, I would say, a ton and a half, if I were to sort of calculate.
Good heavens. It's not very big.
It's not very big, but asphalt has an extreme density.
Yeah.
And it's a piece that really literally got here up to the CCA because of the relationships that were built on site as we were working on this piece in concert with, say, the surveyors, the road builders, the dirt crew, whoever that might be. And so this piece exists because of the trust that's been built up.
Now, you are working also with people who are in various building trades who are going to do performances at the CCA as part of this?
Yes, correct. I'm going to be bringing together what I consider to be a series of sort of foundational trades, tar laying, surveying, framing, concrete laying, as well as sort of bring within that sort of contemporary concoction a series of more mythical trades that have been involved in the building and the foundation of cities.
Mythical trades.
The mythical trades, like the augury, the flying of birds, the dowsing of water, a series of practices that I think are essentially like absent from present day building concerns.
Yeah, we have other methods now, I suppose.
Right, GIS, various other methods. I'm not sure whether they, you know, were the better for it.
Really?
Possibly. I think that there's a lot in terms of like some fundamental siting, some fundamental questions about understanding geography, hydrology, that modern day engineering just doesn't quite have its head around.
They should love dowsing? The idea of birds flying over a construction site. It's
I'm not beautiful. Sure about dowsing, but I think that it represents a sort of concern for qualities of the site, as well as just, say, like the engineered geometries and the kind of pure, yeah, the pure geometric potential. I think that that sort of has taken over from what is otherwise a pretty rich history in terms of like founding and siting of cities and towns.
This event that Jesse's speaking about is happening on Saturday, October 20th at 8 a.m. It's going to be an all-day demonstration with these many layers of construction kind of being choreographed by Jesse. And this choreography is something that I'm really interested in that Jesse brings to his perspective on the built environment. And it's one of the reasons that I invited him to be part of this show. And just knowing him, I would hear about his experience out in the field, and he would talk about watching the concrete pourers descending upon the, you know, freshly laid concrete and the way that they moved. And because he's an artist, he brings this sensibility to a place where art doesn't usually reside. And I found his read to be extremely poetic and meaningful and also very concrete, literally, in terms of translating how the world is made. And I think this is the real beauty of this exhibition, and particularly this one of three events that he's put together, is that it brings an awareness to something and a beauty and a poeticism to something that we really overlook or we think of as dirty or industrial or bland or, you know.
Well, you've got a tar kettle in there, and with great respect, those things do not smell good. It's not active, so in the gallery it's not going to smell like tar, but when you see those things out in real life, you stay away.
Absolutely. Well, the hope is that actually in some of these performance at events that you might linger, because I think that like spending a little bit of time sort of like witnessing the rites and the rituals that are sort of associated with the building trades. I think that there's a lot to sort of like unpack there. There's a lot of, I think Aaron is referring to the sort of like intimacy that I experienced on the site, where like over the duration of a project, the kind of physical proximity, the collective effort towards like one project, I think it really becomes sort of like palpable in on each one of these sites. And so my hope is that you actually will spend perhaps a little bit more time looking and paying attention to some of these real sort of like fundamental and basic techniques.
I know since I started working on this project, I've really started seeing the world differently. And I notice surveyors out in out in the landscape, and I see how much of that day glow orange exists in the world. And I'm very curious about bulldozers and how they're parked at night. And there's just all
Absolutely.
This kind of interest that has built for me in looking at the way the world is. And it used to be something I would just drive past or take for granted. And I hope that the exhibition can kind of invite people into becoming curious about things like how a bridge is made or what a road weighs or the shape of a culvert.
Right.
To get curious about the world, I think, is what art can help us do.
Yeah, and just to become aware of it. I mean, just, you know, the way that paintings of sunsets make us more aware of them in a certain way, or paintings of wheat fields or whatever landscapes we're used to seeing in art. This is like the industrial landscape seen with an interpretation that you can internalize and argue with and think about.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about Dust in the Machine, the exhibition that's opening tonight at 6:30 at the CCA here in Santa Fe. So this show runs through the 25th of November. It's going on for quite a while. And there's other events besides the one that we were just talking about happening in October that are going on as well as the exhibition. Is that correct?
Right. Jesse's going to be doing another two events on November 1st and November 18th, and those will be similar but very different kind of performances based on the built environment. Stay tuned. You can find out more information at ccasantafe.org. And we hope to see you at the opening reception tonight at 6:30 to 8. I should also tell you we have open hours every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday from 12 to 5.
And the CCA is a wonderful place here in Santa Fe. Aaron Elder is the visual arts curator. And the show, once again, is called Dust in the Machine. And Jesse Vogler is artist and land surveyor and ongoing part of this show. Thank you both so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thanks, Mary Charlotte.
Thank you so much.
And due to the wonders of time warp technology, I'm going to be in the Santa Fe Baking Company in just a moment. So please stay tuned to Speaking of the Arts on KSFR. And I would like now to welcome Rob DeWalt. He is with the Pasatiempo, Friday Arts Magazine in the Santa Fe, New Mexico. He's with us many Fridays, Speaking of the Arts. Welcome.
Welcome. Oh, no, that no. You say that. I
no,
say
thank
I
you.
Say thank you.
No, thank you. Thank you.
No, thank you.
Thank you.
Happy fall equinox too.
Is that what it is already?
Isn't it? Isn't September 21st the fall equinox?
Oh my goodness, it probably is. Yeah. And Ulla Peterson is here. She is from the Kindred Spirits Animal Sanctuary. Welcome.
Thank you so much.
So you are having an event this weekend. Tell us about it.
Right. We are having our annual fall open house. And we invite the public to come in and visit with our senior animals here. And we do end-of-life care and hospice for dogs and horses and poultry.
And we've had you on many times talking about them, and I keep on having you on because it is one of the most magical places in the whole world full of these amazing animals.
Oh, well, thank you. We really seek to have real sanctuary for them. And this is an opportunity for the community to come in, and it's very family-oriented, but to come in and visit and learn about what makes a happy elder animal and also how we do end-of-life care. We really focus on quality of life. And so each day we have... We have talks and demonstrations by our professionals, our vets and other caregivers. We have canine massage, we have T-touch, we have acupuncture, animal communication. We even have something on snake bites, how to live with your environment, the critters in your environment when you move to Santa Fe.
Yeah, and I have a good friend who was, her wonderful dog passed away recently, who... went out into her yard and was gardening, and she got bit by a rattlesnake.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I know. I mean, you have to be really careful, and she was really careful and still got bitten.
Yeah, yeah. So we'll talk about that and many aspects of it, but we really seek to further the bonding with our senior animals when they come to the sanctuary from all kinds of bad situations. They're obviously traumatized, and this culture already has... bit of a phobia with how we care for our elders, you know, our people elders too.
Yeah.
And so we really seek to bond, establish a new bonding with our seniors and nurturing care. And it is something that the community can also take back into their own lives.
So you've got all kinds of things happening this weekend, as you mentioned, canine massage and snake bites and all these things. And the Kindred Spirit Animal Sanctuary is down on Route 14?
We are on Highway 14, yeah. Just a mile south of the feed store, the San Marcos feed store, or half a mile past the Lone Butte General store. And there will be signs when you get close. We are also still looking for volunteers, so especially on Sunday, if somebody can help us there. And we're doing barn projects this fall here, so we're also looking for volunteers there.
Stall mucking?
Stall mucking. This is we always do, of course. We do that every day. But special projects like painting, like fence repair, like re-roofing, things like that, that we really need special help with. And then let me just say one more thing. On October the 6th, we have a workshop for wills and estate planning. And it's a big subject because we get so many calls about animals that have been left behind when an event happens in their family's lives. And it could just be a bad accident or something, and there's no one to care for those animals anymore. And they literally just get... abandoned someplace.
I know. I mean, there's so many stories about, I mean, you see, I look perhaps more than a person who already has enough animals should at dog adoption sites late at night. And you see all these
poor little
poor little creatures who say, you know, sometimes I write about them in the first person as if it were a dating site, and they say, my owner got, or my whatever companion person got sick and is in the hospital, and I have no place to go.
Right.
And, you know, that's...
It's very, very common, and people don't often... They don't really want to think about that. They kind of like to stay in comfy denial about that something really could happen.
Like the fact that we're all mortal?
Right. Right. And even if it is not mortality, just disabled or incapacitated for some time.
Yeah.
And so to really have some plans in place will help tremendously. And people sometimes think that they have to have a huge estate to do this. Not at all. It could be even if they have a car or, you know, a few valuables or something that could help get that animal at least placed in a good, adoption
right.
situation. Get them started and get them cared for.
Right.
So it would be a tremendous help. So this is one of the educations that we do. We try and bring up these topics that we get a lot of calls about and do workshops on them and just really bring it out there.
Well, when you think about how much animals take care of their human companions
yes.
towards the end of life, it's
yes.
it's kind of unfair
right.
not to return the favor.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's so true.
You know.
Absolutely.
They spend
I've got
a lot
an old
of time
dog at home and
loving
and
you.
Yeah, you
yeah.
know, and
thank
I, it's
you.
Like I don't know what I'm going to do without her, but you know, if anything should happen to me, she's got places that she can go.
Yeah.
You know, that's already
yeah.
been figured out.
Yeah.
You know, everyone should do it, even if it's a bunny.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Any
or
animal,
a cat.
Any animals you have in your lives that is dependent on you.
Even cats, you think?
Yeah.
All right.
So we, of course, have the dogs and the horses and the poultry, but
yeah.
it.
I know.
I
bequeath. I bequeath my duck.
You have a duck?
No.
Oh.
If I had a duck, it would be lunch for the terriers. So we do not. But
right.
anyway, Kindred Spirits Animal Sanctuary. So what hours are you going to be open this weekend?
Okay, it's going to be Saturday and Sunday. We are open from 10 to 4 each day. And all the events, the talks and demonstrations are all free. And, of course, open. You can come and sit in as much as you like. You can stay for the whole thing. Come for both days if you like. Many people do, actually. And it is a fun time to visit. We'll give you tours around the barns, and you'll be met with a lot of smiley faces and waggy tails. And
if you're not careful, a few dog licks.
A few dog licks. And you don't have to be worried about, you know, taking anyone home because nobody is for adoption. This really is their last home. So you can feel very comfortable that way, too. We have refreshments, of course.
Mm-hmm.
There's a little gift table, too, with items that have been donated by area artists.
And if people want to volunteer, what is the telephone number?
Okay, it's 471-5366. And you can also go to our website, of course, which is kindredspiritsnm.org.
kindredspiritsnm for New Mexico. .org. Ola Peterson is the founder and director of this wonderful place, and I hope you have a terrific weekend and that people come and join you.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. Rob DeWalt.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Hanging in there. How about you?
I'm okay. Yeah.
Excellent.
There's a lot going on for, you know, it being September after Indian Market and fiestas.
I know. There is a lot going on.
Tons of stuff. The Remic project. This thing is huge. Have you been reading about this or seeing anything
about
it?
Yeah, you tell me.
I'm going to tell you. They're calling it a pre-vitalization project of the St. Michael's Drive corridor. And I just happen to live in the neighborhood, but that's not why I'm talking about it.
Right.
So I drove by there after work yesterday, and they had all of these big, huge shipping containers, cargo containers stacked on top of each other to kind of demonstrate what it would look like or what it could look like if there was sort of a live-work environment along the corridor instead of a bunch of nasty parking lots and gas stations and fast food joints and stuff like that, which would probably stay, but things can be worked around. Anyway, these things were like stacked to 45 feet high. There was tons of activity yesterday, and things get started tonight, I think at around 5 o'clock. And there's lectures, there's live music. A Hawk and a Hacksaw is going to be there.
Oh, they're great.
There, I think, when is that? Let me see when that is. That's at 7 p.m. at the Cinema Cafe. And what they're doing is they're going to do a live music score to accompany Soviet filmmaker Sergei I'm not even going to try to pronounce his name, but the 1965 film Shadows of Forgotten Ancestors, which is a doozy of a film. And I love that Cinema Cafe space anyway. So
yes.
That's a free show. Hawk and a Hacksaw.
That's a show that you would pay good money for.
Yeah. But there's tons of other music going on. You can read all about it in my Soundwaves column today. But it basically lasts, there's going to be events. I guess they have a sort of a visitor center at the St. Michael's Village West Shopping Center where a lot of this stuff takes place. And that's
It's a festival, but it's about the revitalization of St. Michael's Drive. Now, I'm from Poughkeepsie, New York, which we fondly called, even when I was a kid, the city where urban renewal failed.
Yeah.
So I always wonder about these things.
Well, what they're doing is they're saying this is what is possible. You know, there's too many people when you talk about revitalization who say, well, look what's already there, and we don't have the money. And what if the money is there? What if the money shows up later? You know, at least they're ready for it. So they've got they've drawn up plans. They have art demonstrations and other demonstrations. There's going to be a bunch of bicycle-related events happening. Students from Candyman Strings and Things Rock School are going to be performing at 6 p.m. on Saturday, 7:30 p.m. Saturday. Broom Dust Caravan is going to be there. This is all happening at St. Michael's Village West Shopping Center. And then there's off-site events, too. Like there's going to be a record sale to support, I think, the Contemporary Music... No, Fogelson Library. Contemporary Music Program is going to be performing from the Santa Fe University of Art and Design. Go ahead and read my column. There's also a great site.
The Remic?
Remicable.com. Remicable.com. Unfortunately, the site doesn't tell you where most things are happening.
So you need the Positiempo.
But it tells you when things are happening. But if you go to Positiempo, you can find out where all the music is this weekend.
So you just go to that place and then follow your good sense.
Yes.
Because you know it's the right time.
Or like there's going to be like a visitor's resource center in that shopping center. So you could just show up and find out more.
So that said, there's a cat of the week.
Oh, no.
And the cat of the week is called Pumpy. And she was recently rescued in the Santa Fe area with three other little siblings, and she's a sweet and adorable kitten. And she gets along well with other cats, and she likes to cuddle and play, and she's beautiful with a short black coat and green and gold eyes. She sounds cute.
She does.
And if somebody wants to adopt that cute kitten, please call Felines and Friends at 316-2281 or email askfelinesandfriends@yahoo.com or fnfnm.org.
Very good. Cat of the week.
Out of the way.
What else is happening? Today must be the equinox because this afternoon is A Gallery Santa Fe is having an equinox opening tonight from 5 to 7 p.m. over there on 154 West Marcy Street. It's a group show of abstract sculpture and paintings, and that shows up through November. So it's definitely the equinox, okay? What else do we have? Arroyo Gallery's got an opening. Equine Photographs by Tony Stromberg. And there's a reception tonight from 5 to 7 p.m. And that's at 200 Canyon Road. Tons of openings for this time of year, I think.
How about Scuba inviting you to Alcove 12.5 opening today from 5:30 to 8:30 at the New Mexico Museum of Arts.
Yes.
Oh, so the Alcove show, right. So Scuba from Caldera Gallery is in it, but I also got a thing from, I'm just going through my email here.
No, that's good. We got the notice too late, so we couldn't get it in the calendar, so go, girl.
Very, very important. New Mexico Museum of Art has these Alcove shows where they have contemporary artists of New Mexico showing for a period of time, several weeks I think it is, each one.
Mm-hmm.
And it is terrific.
Yeah. Yeah, so. They have great shows, and Scuba's awesome.
Scuba's awesome, and the New Mexico Museum of Arts is awesome, and Mary Kershaw, who directs it, is awesome, and it's right on the corner of the plaza with a big old clock out front.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Hey, what do you know about Isaiah 2012?
Well, besides the fact that we just talked about it today, it's a big, huge symposium on electronic arts happening in Albuquerque, and as we talked about the last 3 years, Istanbul, Singapore, Albuquerque.
That's right.
So we're up there with Istanbul, Singapore, and many, many other places where this show has been. I mean, I know people back east who travel around the world to go to this thing. It's mm-hmm. huge, and it sounds very interesting. I've been looking through the catalog, and all kinds of arts and shows and lectures and things like that, and our part of it, one of our parts of it here in Santa Fe, is at the CCA. Mm-hmm. So their show opens tonight.
Dust in the Machine.
Dust
I think
in
it's
the
called.
Machine, yep. Mm-hmm. And the first part of the show, which you didn't hear,
yeah,
was about that.
Well, I'm sure some people didn't tune into the first part of the show. But
that's
let me just
right, because they were just waiting with bated breath for you.
And you.
And then they exhaled and heard your mellifluous tones.
The International Symposium on Electronic Art is having a Santa Fe Day on the 25th. But even before the 25th, starting basically tonight with the Dust in the Machine exhibit, there's just a bevy of stuff happening throughout Santa Fe. We've got, let's see, Currents is part of it. You know, there's some stuff that's already been up. There's on Saturday, September 2nd and Tuesday, September 25th, there's sort of special openings of this No Places, No Names, A Critical Acoustic Archaeology, which is a sound installation.
That's
By Terry Rube.
Yes.
I believe her name is. And I spoke to Terry on the phone, and you can read all about that in Paso Tiempo today. I also spoke to Miwa Matriek, and she's got this great animation / performance piece called Myth and Infrastructure, and that's part of Isaiah 2012 as well. And if you go to page 44 and 45 and 46 in Paso Tiempo, there's a schedule and there's a story about Isaiah with a calendar of all the events and when and where, and most of them are free, if not all of them. So
yeah, I mean, if you go to Albuquerque, I think you've got to pay to get into the actual conference, don't you?
Yeah, you've got to go to the gala and the conference and all that stuff. I mean, some events up there or down there are free too, but this is Santa Fe Day, man. This is our day.
This is our day.
And it's pretty much our
week. Well, there's
week.
People listening in Albuquerque and Rio Rancho.
Oh, I know.
Okay.
I know. It's just nice that they decided to have us be a part of it.
It
I
is
think
indeed.
It's really awesome. No, collaboration. And then what? The Capitol Steps are coming.
Awesome.
Right?
They've been coming. I think they found a little market here, haven't they? Because they keep coming back.
They did. They know that we're a hyper-politicized community.
That's right. We get excited about
for
a lot of things.
For better or for worse. And that's at 7 p.m. Tuesday, September 25th.
Awesome.
At the Lenzic Performing Arts Center. You can get tickets at the Lenzic, 988-1234.
And... among other things, the Literacy Volunteers of Santa Fe annual recognition event and picnic is today from 4 to 7 at Frenchie's Field. And there's a barbecue and awards presentation and stories and raffle items and park games, and just come and check it out.
Nice day for it, too.
Nice day for it,
except
indeed.
It's supposed to be a little smoky, I heard, on one of your wonderful news
really?
Breaks, that there was going to be a little smoke in the sky over the next few days. I'm not sure why, but that's what they said. So, but it's a beautiful day to do it. Oh my gosh, on Saturday at Stat Sports Bar and Nightlife, which is like the old Swig nightclub at 135 West Palace Avenue. It's sort
the place of many changing names, but
yeah.
Ever present adult beverages.
Exactly. That's where I got my start as a bartender and a DJ. Back
is that
in,
right?
Back in 19. Big Freedia is going to be there. And Big Freedia is this sort of progenitor of this New Orleans style hip hop called Bounce. And it's nasty.
But
she's, yes, nasty in a good way. And she's fabulous. And she's supposed to go on around 10 p.m. It's a later show for Santa Fe, anyway. And tickets are available at the Lenzic as well.
Excellent.
And that's on Saturday night. What else? Henry Rollins is coming to town. Speaking of politics, Henry Rollins, singer,
yes.
You know, former singer of the Black Flag and great spoken word artist.
Awesome.
Who I bumped into in the street on Aztec Street once, and he almost kicked my... Well, anyway. That's at 7 p.m. at Santa Fe Soul Stage and Grill. And tickets are available at holdmyticket.com. He's on the Capitalism Tour.
Ah, to promote?
That's what it's called.
Or tear down?
I'm not sure. I think that's just the way things are.
Or to critique while using its tools to get from one place to another.
You could say that.
Well, I could also say that Hats Off, celebrating 20 years of life-saving work, is the name of the Española Valley Humane Society's 20th anniversary gala, yay, which is tomorrow night from 6 to 9. And I talked to Bridget Lindquist yesterday and said, how's it going? You want me to put an extra plug? And she goes, oh, we're going to be sold out. So before you go, make sure to give a call to 930-1450 because you can, it might be sold out. You can try to get tickets on the website, too.
Yes.
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 And if they're sold out, then you can find that out from the website. But anyway, it should be a wonderful event.
Hey, did we talk about sexuality, feminism, and activism, how we can battle back against the war on women?
No, let's talk about
that. Let's talk about it. It's a conversation with Jessica Valenti and a screening of The Purity Myth, which is a really interesting and provocative film. And that's at 7 p.m. at the Santa Fe Women's Club on Old Pecos Trail on Saturday.
Yes.
And you can get tickets in advance or at the door. Discounts are available if you go to nowsantafe.org. You can find out more information. And you can also see the story on page 16 in today's Pasa Tiempo.
Excellent.
Written by Hollis Walker.
Oh, wonderful. And it's the cover story of the Santa Fe Reporter this week. Big smiling picture of Jessica Valenti.
Uh-huh.
And very important stuff. And, you know, you get your rights, and then you've got to work to keep them. It's sort of irritating, but that's the way it is.
You have to work to get them back.
I know. Monday at Collected Works Bookstore at 6 o'clock, the writer Anya Ochtenberg, who used to live here, is back talking about her novel Blue Earth. It's a story of Minnesota and the land, and it's set in the 1980s and 90s, and I just read it because I'm going to have Anya on the air on Monday, and it's a farmer who lost his land and lost his family and all sorts of stories around that dynamic in Minnesota. So that's at 6 o'clock on Monday at Collected Works.
I should mention the cover story of Pasa Tiempo, actually.
You should.
Alberto Galvez, Iris Plural, is portraits by the artist. Most of them are, I think, or all of them are oil on linen. And there's an opening reception at 5 p.m. tonight. It's up through October 7th at New Art Gallery on Canyon Road, 670, the 600 block of Canyon Road.
Excellent. The 600 block of Canyon Road. That's like half of Canyon Road, isn't it? Okay, Friday at the Lucky Bean Cafe, that's tonight, at 550 Montezuma, ushering in the equinox with poets Wendy Brown Baez, Jennifer Ferraro, Marcia Stark, and musician Leah Bello. Come add your intentions to the altar and join them in chanting. And it's a donation only event, you know, donation event. You can donate if you like. And you can also look for more information at where? Never mind. You can just show up to the Lucky Bean Cafe.
You can just show up to the Lucky Bean and take care of business.
All right, good.
Have you heard about this awesome partnership between Fusion Theater Company and the Lenzic Performing Arts Center?
Tell us more.
Well, Fusion is I believe they're in their 11th season or 11th year, and their new season is rolling out this weekend in Santa Fe. They're doing shows in Albuquerque and Santa Fe. They've developed a partnership with Robert Martin over at the Lenzic.
Yay, Bob Martin.
Exactly, and it's going to be amazing. Their first play that's hitting a limited run, literally limited, like Friday the 21st and Saturday the 22nd. On Saturday there's a matinee and a night show, is Other Desert Cities, which is basically the little play that could. This thing has garnered a lot of awards. The story behind it is very interesting. You just have to go and see this play. I bought the script, and I fell in love with it. You know, you start reading it, and you're like, this is going to be one of those really ridiculous political family dramas. And it's a family drama, but it is a dysfunctional family drama. It's awesome.
So that makes it better.
You get done watching it, and you're like, oh, my God, my family's so normal. So if you want that kind of uplifting experience.
Excellent.
And it's funny, and it's very intense. And it's 8 p.m. Friday, September 21st, which is tonight, and 2 and 8 p.m. Saturday, September 22nd at the Lenzic. There's a story on page 26 in today's Pasa Tiempo that basically explains the rest of the season, which lasts through May. They're bringing four plays, Clybourne Park, Freud's Last Session, and Humble Boy, as well as Other Desert Cities.
Excellent.
So, nice long season.
Santa Fe Watershed Association is offering three events simultaneously. There, you can still take the two-day workshop called Caring for Arroyos in Your Neighborhood. That's today and tomorrow. It may be too late for that, but anyway, you could try it. And the annual Fall River Cleanup and Kids Recycle Art Contest is tomorrow from 9 to 1:30. And it is, they're meeting at the Montañita Co-op parking lot. And then third is the Hike into the Upper Watershed with Eileen Everett and Bill Armstrong. And it doesn't say when that is. But to register for any of these events, call 820-1696 or go to santafewatershed.org.
Neato.
Neato.
Hey, there's some great films coming out this week.
I have heard. Samsara, Monday.
Samsara.
Where's that at?
Where is that at? Let me see. It's Hammond, 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 Hammond. Samsara is at the Lensic.
Mm-hmm. That's what I thought.
Yes.
Are we gonna, we were trying to get somebody on to talk about it. We will see what happens on Monday.
On Monday?
Mm.
Okay. We've got that. We've got They Call It Myanmar, Lifting the Curtain.
It's Samsara, by the way, is by the people who made Kayani Scotsy.
Yes. Yeah. We've got Chicken with Plums, right? Which is at the CCA. They Call It Myanmar is at the Screen. And Union Square is at CCA. All three of these films got a 3 chili rating in today's Pasa Tiempo.
Which is not so easy to get.
Also, The Lady is opening at the Screen. And it's the story of Aung San Suu Kyi, I guess is her name. And it's a 1991 Nobel Peace Prize winner, human rights activist, and most recently recipient of the Congressional Gold Medal. And there's a review on page 52. There's 4 movie reviews in today's Pasa Tiempo.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Now, Globalkirky.
Yes.
What do you know about Globalkirky?
I know that there's a story in today's Pasa Tiempo.
Oh, really? Is there anything that is not covered in today's Pasa Tiempo, Rob?
No. Everything under the sun.
Everything.
Everything under the sun is covered. Basically, it's an international music festival. I don't like to say world music. I hate that word. World music. It's just awful.
It is kind of silly.
No, it reminds me of yoga. Anyway, it's Globalkirky 2012 is 4 to 11:30 p.m. Friday, September 21st.
You know there's a lot of yoga people listening.
I understand.
All right. That's
what's wonderful about the First Amendment is that I can say I don't really enjoy yoga. But anyway.
I don't enjoy it either, but I do it. You know.
Yeah.
You got to stay limber into your years of decrepitude.
Yeah. I just stretch a lot.
Well, it's the same thing.
Anyway, it's at the National Hispanic Cultural Center in Albuquerque, right?
Yes.
And if you want more information, you can read the story on page 30 in today's Pasa Tiempo, and you can call 505-724-4771.
Excellent.
More info.
Yeah, and it seems like a huge, amazing, great lineup, and seriously, check it out, and at least go on the website and see what is playing, and maybe some of those things will appeal to you. Santa Fe High School Choir Benefit Concert. More than 100 members of the Santa Fe High School choirs with mezzo-soprano Drea Presley, tenor Andreas Tischauer, and soprano Kathleen Rich, all from the Santa Fe Desert Chorale, are tomorrow night, September 22nd at 7 o'clock. It'll be at the Holy Faith Episcopal Church on Palace Avenue. For more information, 670-4854. And it sounds like a wonderful event and opportunity for both us, the listeners, and for the Santa Fe High School choirs.
Did we talk about the Santa Fe River Fall Cleanup and Recycled Art Contest?
Yes.
We did?
Yes.
Okay, good.
I did.
Okay. I must have been somewhere when you were doing that.
You were looking at other things, which is good.
Okay. Oh, pianist Nils Fromm, I believe he's from Germany, is performing at the O'Shaughnessy Performance Space on Sunday, September 23rd. At the Santa Fe University of Art and Design. That show starts at 7 p.m. And I believe you can get tickets at the door. But it's an all-ages show. And it's if you like the piano, you're going to like it. Good stuff.
Most excellent.
Oh, Bonnie Raitt at the Santa Fe Opera, 6:30 p.m. on Thursday the 27th.
I didn't know she sang opera.
I didn't either. No. That's going to be an interesting show. Parking is going to be interesting. I got an email from one of the promoters of this show, and parking is an issue.
Ah.
So you might want to call the box office. And
are they going to have shuttles or whatever?
They're going to have limited shuttles, and there's going to be a way for you to purchase parking for $35.
Ah.
Otherwise, you have to park at the flea market and hike it up or take a shuttle.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
All right.
So just be aware of that.
And Dave Anderson and Jan or Jan, I'm not sure which it is, McDonald will be at the Three Faces of Jazz at El Maison tonight at 7:30 to 10:30. Great jazz. I mean, great food, great jazz, no cover.
Great food, great jazz, no cover?
Yep.
That sounds good.
I know.
Does the food cost anything?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
And it's good.
Oh, okay.
I love the food there.
I wish that the food was free.
Well, you know, nothing in life is free, except sometimes when it is. Rob DeWalt is with the Pasatiempo Friday Arts Magazine in the Santa Fe, New Mexico. He's with us many Fridays. Speaking of the arts, have you been to La Boca's new restaurant?
I have, like 4 times.
La Taverna?
I think they think I'm stalking everyone there.
It's so good.
I know. It's wonderful. You guys should go to the farmer's market, too, because things, you know, this is like the end of... It's going to get cold.
That's true, and the food there has got to be wonderfully wonderful.
Bountiful.
And
Taverna is having a grand opening on the 22nd of... it's this Saturday.
This Saturday?
Yes.
Oh, we didn't even announce that.
So call the restaurant and find out when it is.
Yes.
Or go online to the La Boca website. They might have something there, too.
All right. Well, it's just about time to go, and, well, gosh, the news is going to be here with us in 5 seconds, so I'm just going to go. Have a wonderful day.
Bye.
Hasta la vista, baby. Ciao.